So on the 18th, next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, that will be the peace assembly in front of the Israel embassy. That will be the finale of our conference. So please show up. There will be other churches. I think there will be other churches as well outside of Zoe Ministry. We are doing this for the sake of Israel, but it's also for the sake of the whole kingdom of God. So please come and wage spiritual warfare with us. We need to cleanse Gwahamun and Myeongdong area of Seoul. Please come. So my wife is different from me, so she needs, please support her as well. So our country, it's under the control of the leftist party. And they are supporting Palestine. And they are doing also a protest where they're holding up the Palestinian flag. And they're asking for Netanyahu to step down from as prime minister. So these are mostly receiving support from like Arabic people. And these Arabic countries are so, it's very easy for these people from Arabic countries to enter Korea. And so we are going there to the peaceful assembly in order to show support for Israel, that there are Koreans who support Israel. And so I believe that we will be able to give a lot of comfort to Israelis, to the Jews. So on that same day, our assembly is from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., but at 4 p.m. on the same day, there will be a Palestinian protest. So we're going to be waging spiritual warfare for 2 hours, the first 2 hours. So please come, show up, and fight with us. Especially young adults, you all need to come. You need to wage the powerful spiritual warfare, amen? There's no place to park there, so I think it'll be easiest to come by public transportation. And Yeorbang Church will have a bus only for the elderly people. Everybody else, it'll be easiest to come by train. So please bring mats to sit on the floor. There won't be any space for chairs. So please bring mats to sit on the floor. Please bring mats to put on the floor if you need to sit. And then the following week on Thursday, I'll be leaving for the Dominican Republic. So please pray for us. It's very hard to ride the planes because I have to ride for like 30 hours to reach the Dominican Republic. All of our Zoe Ministry churches in Latin America will be a gathering there. Especially, I heard that a lot of pastors from Cuba will be coming. So we are Caribou. We are hoping for Zoe Ministry to start churches there as well. So these pastors are asking me to do a conference in Cuba. So I believe that the Dominican Republic is a very important country. So please pray for our conference. We need to cut off all of the flow of witchcraft in that country. And that way, we'll be able to connect the Zoe Ministry churches in the south and in the north. And in the Richmond, Virginia conference, there'll be pastors gathering from like 12 or 13 states. And people from Israel will be coming as well. So I believe that through this conference in Virginia, it'll be a time of sewing ministry becoming stronger in North America. I want to start a church for the next generation in America. I didn't feel any need to get connected with Koreans in America. But I have an inspiration that is tied for the next generation of Korean Americans to rise up in America. So we're going to start a Korean church in America soon. There's a lot of people who can start a church in America from our church. Pastor Cho, he is an American. The one who said, I love you. Pastor Jay is also an American. Pastor Cho, Daniel Cho is also an American. Who else? Bernie, he's not a pastor. Yeah, Bernie, he can start a church. But he needs to earn money. Okay, so we're thankful. Everybody's back from the bathroom. Also, please register for the Rome conference. Because we're going to close the registration very soon. So please register as quickly as possible so we can get everything in order. And the young adults have told me they want to do RT after the Rome conference. So please pray for that as well. If it is God's will, then we will have the RT. We will have them go throughout all of Italy, starting from Sicily in the south all the way to the north, and to destroy the work of the great prostitute. Yeah, we went up to verse 20 yesterday. So let's look at verse 21. So we're talking about the restoration of Israel. Up to verse 26, it's talking about the restoration of Israel. So we have been proclaiming a lot of important spiritual principles in chapter 30. Just as I said yesterday, our relationship with God is one in which we cry out and He answers us. So the Bible is recorded according to statements. What does that mean? There's a lot of statements in the Bible. If it says A, it means B. It means if there's a proposition A, then there will be a result B. So that's why it's so important to receive the Bible by faith. Because you don't receive the word by faith, and because you are soaked in your experiences with the world, you consider the word of God and also all of the situations happening around you according to your experiences. If you say, if God does not do it for me, then I will try this method and I can try that method. You keep making your own possibilities. That is not the method of the truth. Truth is all about propositions, statements. So we have said that believing in God is monism. There is no such thing as decision making before God. If you think, oh, I only have this much money, so what kind of work can I do? That's the method of the world. In the kingdom of God, whether or not you have money, if it's the will of God, you do it. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If God does not want it, you do not do it. So the CEO of Ant is here. That's how he started his business. He had no money at all. He had no plan. But it was time. So I told him to start his business. And then after a few weeks later, he earned like $30 million. That is the way that God works. So it is your worldly experiences that is preventing you from reacting to the Word of God. And you open up all of your possibilities, all of your strength, and you put the Word of God in that circumstance, then it's not, you're not able to react to the Word of God. When you live by the Word of God, your head, your thoughts will be clear. There's no decision to make. If you think you have to choose between decisions, that means there's something wrong. That is the way that the truth works. You call out to God and God answers. That is a proposition. It's a statement. That is the way of truth. There is no other reality. If it does not happen, it means that there's a problem in your relationship with God. So you have to always be happy. That is a proposition. There's no way to not be happy in the kingdom of God. Right? There's no way to not be happy in the kingdom of God. Because there's nothing that can overpower the kingdom of God. So there's nothing that can take away the joy of God from you. So that's a proposition. But you are not happy. Then there's a problem. And that's why you're able to repent. And you can see the root of the problem inside of you. So you have to receive every word of God as a proposition. It's the spiritual principle. If God says that is what the church is, then that's how it is. There's nothing that can overcome the church. The church can do everything. God does not say that the church needs a certain number of people in the church. So you don't have to care about the number of people in your church. It doesn't matter how many people there are. If that is the true church of God, that's all that matters. Actually, you can be blessed because there are poor people in your church, right? Okay. For example, if the senior pastor in our church, your own church, was being persecuted, our church members would be happy. Yeah. They would send me away happily. Okay, don't send me away, okay? Church members, please do not send me away. Okay, it's true. Because we have a relationship of life between me and my church members. I'm not talking about how good I am. How good of a pastor I am. I'm just saying that we have a relationship of life. Oh, if somebody is persecuting me. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what he's talking about. Okay, anyways, why do I have this relationship with my church members? It's because I have fed my church members the truth. The principle of the truth. That is what life looks like. That's the relationship of life. If you eat an apple, it's natural for all of the nutrients of the apple to enter into you. If the flow of the truth is correct, then you enter into this flow of life. And it will manifest like this in your church as well. If the Word of God is accepted as truth in your church, then it will manifest as the power of truth. If the truth is not clear in your church, if the truth is not clear in me, then God, does not leave me alone. And I do not leave that problem alone. And I have to resolve this issue in my life so that the truth will flow in my life. So why is the truth of Zoe ministry so important? Because we're not talking about theory. All of the people around me are witnesses. They're witnesses that the truth is being manifested in my life. Even if you take a look at the power of my life, the power of God is supposed to manifest in our lives. If, let's say, for example, I've not seen the hammerhead rise up in from the water, the head of a hammer rise up from in the water. I haven't seen that yet, but all of the miracles of the Bible have been present in my life. What is the essence? It is because I have received the truth of God as a proposition in my life. If A leads to B, you have to change your way of thinking in your life. You have to get rid of this way of thinking entirely. You have to change the way you receive the truth. If God says A, then B will happen. If you cry out, He will answer. If God does not answer, then you have to find the reason for the problem. You're supposed to be happy. If you're not happy, then there's a problem. You have to resolve that problem. That's why we say we have this relationship of being with God. If we call out to Him, He answers. What is this relationship of being? It is because we have this relationship that God will work like this absolutely. In the New Testament, we say we have this relationship of Abba Father with God. That is Aramaic. Paul uses the Aramaic word Abba in order to show this nuance of a two-year-old or a three-year-old calling out to his daddy. To these two-year-olds, if they ask their father for something, the father has to give it to them. Because the father cannot reason with them. The father does not say, I'll give it to you later. This is bad for you. That doesn't, they don't understand. The father has to give it to the little children because they will start to cry. But fathers nowadays, they give everything to their children, right? That is the relationship of being. If we ask, He answers. That is an absolute principle. We have to believe in this. That's why He says, ask in My name and I will give it to you. Why does God say, we have to understand why God says that. When we pray, we have a 100% response rate. It's not because we asked, we said something. It is because that is our being. If God, because when I ask, God has to answer. That is my being. So when you recognize what kind of being you are and you live in that relationship of being with God, then there will be no problem to you. There's nothing that God never says, oh, I can't. Let's say I ask for the universe. God does not say, oh, you're crazy. Why are you asking for this? God never says that. God does say something like this. Wait. He says this a lot. There are some things that He needs to resolve in time and also things where I need to change in my personality. But God never says, I can't. No. God never says, I can't. If you are God, say no, then there's one of two reasons. It's either the demons telling you this, or you're telling yourself this. God never speaks like that. Never. God never says, I can't. God never says no. Isn't that amazing? If you recognize this in your relationship with God, then you will start to have fear of the Lord. Because God never tells you no. God never says, I can't, to you. If you truly believe this, then you start to have reverence and fear of the Lord. If you understand the true identity of God, it's not possible to live outside of God. It's like this. Let's say my children went out to eat with me. They know my scale. They know that they can order whatever they want. They know they can order the best item on the menu. So my kids, they don't want to go with their mother to the restaurant because she only orders the least expensive thing. They always want to go with me to the restaurant. So look, it's the same with God. You live with this kind of God. Do you think it's possible to live with anything else? No, you cannot live with anything else because everything else is stingy. When you are connected with God, it becomes impossible to live with the world. It becomes impossible to live with other people. Because the level, the scale does not match. I'm not saying you don't have relationships with other people. I'm saying you do not ask other people's opinions. You don't try to explain yourself to other people. You don't try to persuade other people. Why? Because God's scale is not something of persuasion. You just do it according to God's will. That is the way God is. So you have to understand how great our privilege is to live with Him. So you have seen this in the past 23 years of Zoe ministry. You have seen God do unimaginable things. So it's now time for Zoe ministry to enjoy this glory of God as we enter into deeper fellowship with God. Just as it says in Amos 3:7, we're going to see the fulfillment of Amos 3:7, that God does not do anything without revealing His secret to His servant, the prophet. So God reveals all of His secrets to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I did well in imparting to all of the young adults because the next generation. I didn't know there were so many young adults here. I think half of the attendees are young adults. I don't know if the older people, I'm sorry for not putting my hands on you, married people, because even if I laid hands on you, nothing would go in you. Because God told me to lay my hands on the young adults. If I laid my hands on the married people, nothing would have been imparted to you. So God's will is important, not my will. So let's move on. So ask and He shall answer. If you believe this, then you have confidence. Because in every situation, in every problem, you just have to ask God. You just have to open the heavens. So let's look at verse 21. So in verse 20, God is going to restore Israel by sending a prophet to proclaim His word. So we talked about the DNA of Israel. In the midst of affliction and tribulation, suffering, that is not the cause of why they cannot live. Even in the midst of suffering, as long as the word of God is proclaimed, then Israel can live. They are a very amazing country. So no matter what Israel has, if God does not do it, then they cannot do anything. But on the other hand, even if they have nothing, if God does it, then they have everything. Is this only talking about Israel? As I've experienced in the past 30 years, God does not work according to my measure. God has never worked that way. Several years ago, six, $600,000 was a huge amount of money for us. No, $6 million was a huge amount of money for us. And we had debt. We actually had debt. But there was a missionary that I didn't know about who came to find me. And she asked me for a plane ticket because she has 8 children. She has 8 members in her family. And we needed money to do the whole conference. But God told me to pay for her plane tickets. So there were several happenings like that. But just 1 week before the conference, that $6 million came into our bank account. That is the way God always works. If you don't live by God's faith, you cannot live with God. I'm saying if you do not live with God by faith, then you're just living a religious life. That's not what faith looks like. So you have to check your spiritual condition in this season. You should check, am I truly living by faith with God? Am I truly receiving faith as a gift from God? Or am I just misunderstanding the good things in my life as something from God? Do I just count the good things in my life as something from God? So for certain people in good situations, you work very hard. But in this season, we are in a season where we cannot do anything with what we have. Let's say, for example, I have $1 million. That $1 million will suddenly become 10 cents. That's the season that we're in. You cannot say what you possess is what you have. So without faith, you cannot live in this season. Some people think, oh, I have good parents, I have a good background, so I can live well. But there will be a situation in which all of that will become useless. So to me, people like me, this season is very wonderful. Because several years ago, if you live by faith, there wasn't any manifestation. But now, if you live by faith, there's always manifestations. But now we're living in situations where we cannot live without faith. So either you have to live by faith or you have to stand on the side of the Antichrist. You cannot live a religious life. So we're entering into an age where if you misunderstood the good things in your life as God, then you can't live that way anymore. There's nothing, you cannot live according to your humanistic standards anymore. So what does it mean to receive glory in this age? It means to live by faith alone. So please do not listen to this in vain. We are already in that kind of season. Already. So in just a little bit, you will start to cry out and say, oh, Pastor Kim was right. Without faith, you will not be able to live in this season. So, relatively speaking, Korea is in a comfortable situation. Let's say you are living in Ukraine. What would you be able to do there? You could only look to God. Let's say you're living in the Middle East. That's how it is. Just because you're a little bit comfortable, you should not take that as a guarantee. The righteous shall live by faith alone. Shall live by faith alone. So that is the strength of Israel. No matter what suffering or tribulation they were under, they can live if they have the word of God. And even Israel committing sins, even in that situation, if they lose the word of God, they would stop. That is the strength of Israel. So the reason we say that the essence of God's kingdom is His word, And the essence of Zoe Ministry is the Word of God. It's not just Zoe Ministry, but that's the principle. We say that because that's the principle of God's kingdom. So the identity of Israel is Shema Israel. Because the Word is related to the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the Word makes all of the requirements inside of me to be the child of God. And how did God create this universe? He created it so that all of the external manifestations are rooted in the being. So in the world, if you are good at computer science, all you have to do is be good at a computer. But for the spiritual world, that's not it. You need to have the being. But that's not the way. Okay, in the world, all the world cares about is results. But that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. That's not how God created this universe. You need to be firm in your being so that you can have the right external manifestations. So this is a very important word. So because of you've been living in Babylon, you keep putting focus on the manifestations, on the results. So even no matter how much the world tempts me with good things, I should not be involved with it if my being is not firm. At the beginning of Zoe Ministry, somebody brought $400 billion and they said, I will give a tithe. I will give a tenth as a tithe. But they were this couple was actually committing adultery. So I sent them away. Okay, I didn't understand how much $400 billion was. It's a great amount of money. So later I kind of regretted, why did I send them away? No. It doesn't matter. If it's not from God, we should not accept it. Because I have eaten the Word of God, so it means that it's natural for a cow to eat grass, right? It's not possible for me to try out different things. Because I am a cow, like a cow, I eat grass only. It's the same for us. All of the spiritual, you have to completely change your spiritual condition. You should have no conflict, no decision making when you live with God. Because God is an amazing being. When you live with God, it becomes impossible to live with anything else. So you should not be mixed, okay? You should not introduce mixture into yourself. You should not be mixed with the world. You should not hesitate. You have to strictly kick out everything that is not God. So let's look at verse. I don't think we'll be able to finish chapter 2, chapter 30. Okay, look, verse 21. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. So Israel is like teeter-tottering, right? But that will not happen anymore. That will not happen when your ears shall hear the word. So because Israel was walking in darkness, they were stumbling. But from the back, from behind them, there's a searchlight that shines upon them. That is the word of God. They hear the word of God. And they are able to walk on the right path. That is God's greatest blessing to Israel. So let's say you said, God, I don't have money. Please give me money. But giving you money is not God's greatest blessing. Even if he doesn't give you money, he is creating you, he is making you so that you are not influenced by money, whether you have it or not. That is God's greatest blessing in your life. God's greatest blessing is to lead you according to the light and the path of his word. So let's say something in this world is causing you a problem. Let's say, for example, money. Or your family background. Or your specs, your skills. If these things cause you a problem, don't be deceived. It is not because you lack something that those things become a problem. There is no way that any of those things can pose a problem to the children of God. It's actually because you do not see the right path that you are walking in the path of darkness. It's because you think money is a problem that you are not able to see God. Because you have poverty in a certain situation, you see only the poverty and not God. And so when you put that down, and you see the light of God and the path that He is showing you, whether you have money or not, it will not be a problem at all. So in every situation, God's greatest blessing for His children is to show you His path. So that's the reason why God does not give you money when you ask for money. It is not God's blessing to give you money to overcome your hardship. It is so that in the future, whether or not you have money, you are able to be happy. You are able to overcome. When you ask for God for fish, He doesn't give you fish. He teaches you how to catch fish. Amen? So no matter what situation, what condition you're in, that is why you are not able to complain. You are able to break through. So they don't think of it. The situation does not pose a problem. It's the same for what happened last year in Israel. We paid like $2 million for all of the plane tickets from Latin America. But there was a war in Israel. But in that situation, God showed us correctly what to do. I'm not just talking about myself. This is what God is doing for all of His children. And that's why those kind of people who believe this have a strong power to break through. No matter what barricade is in front of you, you have the power to break through. Situation, conditions, God is able to break through all these things. And you are able to see the will of God that transcends all these dimensions. You can see God's plan. That's what you hold on to. This has to become very natural for you to do. So, in this season, I believe that these kind of people of faith are rising up and doing ministry. Because the kingdom of God is moving with these kind of people. If people of faith rise up, it doesn't matter how many there are, even just a few people, if we hold hands together, that itself is victory. So if God sends just one person of faith, then we are able to move thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. Amen. So for the past 23 years, what is the most important thing God has been doing in the past 23 years in Zoe ministry? It is not investing in a building. It is investing in people. So that's why Zoe ministry, we are able to minister in every language. And that's why God has also sent doctors to back up all of the truth that I have been proclaiming. And He's been raising up the prophets in our church. And that's why we have been able to shake all of the nations. So we have almost reached the peak. So the church that, according to Zechariah chapter 5, is about to appear. So, and all of the Joy Ministry churches here are going to enjoy the glory together with me. So be prepared. Okay, be prepared. If we can do Israel conference next year or 2 years from now, I'm going to ask all of the Zoe Ministry churches to gather together. Oh, we're going to provide airplane tickets for everybody. If I say this, then all those people, they get sad. Because even though I just proclaim who's going to pay the money so our church members get sad. Businessmen, God will do it. So you are able to give up everything, right? No? Right? God is able to do everything. God will do it. First, we'll bring all of Yerbang Church to Israel first next year. And then after that, we'll bring everybody. We will have no church anymore. We're going to have all 500 members live in Israel for 1 month. Wow. Everybody gets quiet. Not next year. When is our 30th anniversary? This year is our 27th anniversary. So on our 30th anniversary, we'll do that. So 3 years, in 3 years' time, we will have all everyone in Yerwang Church go to Israel directly. I'm so happy at the thought. Because you're part of Yerwang Church, right? Okay. Because our church needs some Sabbath rest. We have been following the schedule so like hurriedly and haphazardly. We need some rest. So we need some Sabbath rest. So before that, please come to church. Where are we? Verse 22. Let's finish chapter 30. Then you will defile your carved idols overlaid with silver and your gold-plated metal images. You will scatter them. You will defile them. You will say to them, be gone. So what are the idols here? You can just say that's the world. In the ancient Israel world, everything was ruled by idols. So you just, instead of idols, just think the world. So even now, the reason Israel is receiving all of this punishment is because they have been unified with the world. Let's say, a country waged war against another country and they won. They would say, my God is waging war against your God. So that's the way it was in the ancient world. If something good was happening, it is because Baal blessed me. That's what they used to think. So in every aspect of their life was connected to a God, to an idol. So that's why when you see the word idols in the Bible, you just think the world. So as Israel was believing in God, they also started to accept idols into their life and they displayed syncretism. So it is not by chance that they are relying on Egypt. It is because they were receiving idols into their life and they changed their faith. They corrupted their faith. It is not a simple matter of relying on the world because they saw the might of the world. It is because they were accepting idols into every aspect of their life. They fell into syncretism. And so God is going to completely separate them from their idols. You're going to scatter them as unclean things. So if you look at the Thessalonian church, Paul ministered in Thessalonica only for 3 weeks. So as soon as they heard the word of God from Paul, the Thessalonians threw away their idols. What does that mean? They were proclaiming, we are not going to determine our lives and what we eat and wear from the idols. Because they had guilds in the ancient world. If the businesses did not register with the guilds, they could not do business. So what was the problem with the guilds? You have to worship the idols. So the fact that they threw away their idols means that they left their guilds. So it's a matter of life and death, right? But even though Paul was only in Thessalonica for 3 weeks, the Thessalonian church, they completely gave up the right to eat and live before God. So it's not a problem of time. It is a problem of how correctly did you meet with God? How correctly did you receive the word of God as truth? So that's why in 3 weeks' time, the faith of the Thessalonians spread out all throughout Asia. So you have to have this desire inside of you as well. You cannot compromise with the world and just live your life willy-nilly as if you have to get rid of the thought of thinking like, oh, as long as my life is good, that's okay. Only God can make me live. Only God alone is my everything. God is my everything. God alone is almighty. You have to confirm every single day that God's being is with you. So you have to proclaim this with joy and excitement every single day. God, you alone are my everything. God, if I have you alone, I have everything. You have to be able to confess this every single day. And God receives that kind of prayer with joy. And He makes it so that you can live like that. So you should not rely on the world to be just a little bit comfortable, to have just a little bit of money. You should not have that kind of life of unbelief. The children of God will never starve. The children of God will never be overwhelmed by poverty. Because poverty has nothing to do with God. What is the characteristic of God's kingdom? It's abundance. What do we mean by abundance? It means that you can enjoy everything that God gives to you. Because God created this whole universe for the sake of us, right? God did not create this world so that you can take pleasure in this world. God did not create this world so that you can take vacations, right? That's not it. God created this whole universe so that we can enjoy the fruits of this universe. So God's kingdom itself is abundance. And Zoe ministry, even when we were poor, we were always abundant. Because in Zoe ministry, we had nothing but money. No, we lacked only money. We had everything else. There's nobody saying amen. We have everything. So in ministry, we have singers. We have beautiful people. We have good-looking people. We have doctors. We have everything. The only thing we don't have are presidents and rich people. But now God is going to give us all the money we need. So when I pray for our businessmen, I truly pray deeply for them. Because we need to prepare for the reunification of Korea. I pray, God, let there be a business that can have a $300 billion transaction. That business becomes a channel through which $300 billion moves. Let's say talk about 1% of the $300 billion. That's $3 billion, right? $3 billion, yeah, something like that. That's 1%. Let's say you ordered something from Coupang. Okay, distribution. Okay. So, okay, let's say you order something from Coupang and they delayed your order by 2 days. They are losing money by like tens of thousands of dollars every day that they delay your order. So those kind of delivery companies, they are receiving like billions of dollars every single day. If you delay, if that kind of distribution company delays its orders, they lose, you know, millions and billions of dollars every single day. So if you do a transaction worth $300 billion, okay, if you do a transaction worth $3 billion, you're actually moving $300 billion at the same time. So God is looking for that kind of spiritual tire in this age. So God, okay, he's not looking for people who buy cheap kimbap, okay? The triangle kimbap. So we have no way of knowing this kind of business transaction. But in the top level, there are people who are moving this scale of money. They're moving like $300 billion at a time. When they, you know, exchange the currency, there's like billions and trillions of dollars being moved at the same time. So God is raising up spiritual tires to be able to enter that material world. And then who comes? The Antichrist will come and get involved. But for the remnant has the spiritual authority to resist the Antichrist, so the Antichrist does not get involved at all. So if I talk about this, okay, if you want to hear more about this individually, come find me and I will tell you. How much money do those kind of like wealthy people pay per meal? How much do they pay per meal? Like George what's his name? George Soros, how much money does he pay per meal? He pays like $1 billion per meal, $100 million per meal. So please bring $100 million, pay for my meal, and I will tell you the secrets of the upper echelons. Okay, why am I talking about this? We don't have time. It's not useless. Anyways, so we have to be completely separated from the world. So God, who is completely separate from the world, we had to put our roots in him. Verse 23, and he will give rain for the seed with which you sow the ground, the bread and the produce of the ground, which will be rich and plenteous. In that day, your livestock will graze in large pastures. So Isaiah is prophesying that this will happen to Israel after Assyria has been victorious against them. Even now, we can say that Israel is still under God's wrath. And so actually, Isaiah is talking about their restoration in the end times. So Israel that has been destroyed will become this rich ground. Right now, we cannot say Israel is a rich ground, fertile ground. Israel is a land that is flowing with milk and honey, but we don't see that yet. So Isaiah is talking about the restoration and the end times. As I said yesterday, this does not apply only to Israel. Our whole timeline has to be fixed towards the timeline of the Lord's return. So you should check whether you are standing before Christ as a glorious being. The full focus of your life should be towards that. Let's say you are living your life say it's impossible with this life that you are it's impossible for you to stand as a glorious being for before Christ, then you have to get rid of that. You have to throw it away. I'm a pastor, right? If I'm doing my pastoral ministry and it's impossible for me and my church members to stand before Christ in glory, then I have to get rid of that pastoral ministry. And I even have to get rid of that church. Why? Because I do not risk everything for my pastoral ministry. I do not risk my life for my business. I risk my life for God. I hang my life on God. So if it's not God, what something God wants, then I have to get rid of it. That way I can stand before God in glory when He returns. That is the wisdom of God. When you see the whole picture, that is the way you can live if you see the big picture. So if you see just this small little thing and you say, oh, my pastoral ministry, my business, then you cannot see the big picture. But if you see the big picture, you will be able to see, oh, it's impossible for me to stand in glory before God with this. So you have to get rid of this. You have to throw it away. If you're not able to decide this and you don't know that you're losing glory and you're just obsessed with what you see in front of you, then you will miss out. You have to fix your whole timeline on His return. And you will be able to get rid of your narrow folk, your narrow perspective. You will be able to get rid of it right away. So look at every aspect of your life. Check. Oh, if I continue to live like this, I can't even pray. I don't do the work that God is pleased with. And I just live like a beggar in this world. You have to get rid of this. I usually do not tell young adults to become public officials, to become government officials. Because I've told one or two people to become lawyers. I'm not saying that being a government official is bad. I'm telling you to not do a job where you feel security. I do not want our young adults to fall into this narrow lifestyle. Of course, it's a matter of your faith. I know many of you dream about becoming a public official. Okay, maybe not. For a while, that was the trend. You would invest all of your time into getting the qualifications, right? So when you live by God, you cannot enjoy... what does it mean? Okay, your life is very dynamic when you live with God. There's always excitement and expectation. What is God going to do next? What will God do next? You live in this suspense and dynamism, but your life with God does not look like you do not have this life that is lacking fun. Okay, next generation, this will happen to you. This dynamic life, this life of suspense. So that's why in our church, it's hard to pay attention because we are too dynamic. There's no time to sleep. It's always always something happening. I wanted to, have some rest before I went to the Dominican Republic, but we have this peace assembly for Israel. That's not something I did. It's something my wife decided, okay? What's the problem? What's the problem? Do you see the angels? Like billionaires, they pay $250,000 per meal or something like that. Anyways, Okay. So we have to match our timeline to the Lord's return. So you will not regret it. Even now, you have to match your timeline. Pastors, you have to see your timeline match to the Lord's return. You have to ask yourself, when He returns, is our church going to stand gloriously before Him? You have to look at this every single day. Why? Because in this season, we don't know when the Lord is going to come back. So when the Lord returns, is our church going to stand in glory? You have to confirm this every single day. Every single day. That is the duty of a pastor. You have to check to see whether the work you're doing pleases your master. You have to check. So you have to... You cannot look at this timeline according to the worldly perspective as if you're tied to this world. You have to fix your focus on God's timeline. And if it does not belong to God, then you have to get rid of it quickly. That is what it looks like to live according to God's principle. Verse 24. How abundant is God's kingdom? The oxen and the donkeys that work the ground will eat seasoned fodder. They will be eat the harvest. So the donkeys that work the fields during the harvest. They are eating the harvest. Yeah. So after the harvest, you know, they are gathering all of the grains, and they're going to feed the oxen and the donkeys with the harvest. They're feeding them seasoned fodder with salt. Okay, salt was reserved only for human beings at that time. And they are so abundant that they are able to feed even the oxen with the salt. So like I said, this is the restoration at the end times. Verse 25. And on every lofty mountain, every high hill. So for 3.5 years, the survivors were stuck inside Jerusalem. But all of a sudden, the Assyrian army will be killed. They will die. And then in that day, there'll be brooks running with water in the day of great slaughter. So this is not something that'll happen right after the Assyrian army is killed, but this is talking about the end times. So we see in Zechariah, the Kidron Valley, all of the Kidron Valley will be split open and the water will flow into the Dead Sea, from Jerusalem into the Dead Sea. This is talking about the restoration at the end times. So the restoration of Israel will come at that time. Our perfect restoration will be at that time. So before then, we cannot enjoy rest. We should not look forward to rest before that time. We have to keep fighting and breaking through by faith. Amen? We should not look for rest. We should not look for pleasure. At that time, we will be able to enjoy all of God's riches at that time. We will be able to enjoy God's abundance at that time. So we have to keep moving forward for the victory. Amen. Verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon and the light of the sun. In the day when the Lord binds up the brokenness of His people. So this is a time when God, the end times is the time when God will restore His broken people. And the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be sevenfold. As the light of 7 days. It is talking about the perfect restoration of light. So what is this talking about? This will happen when the Lord returns. We saw this also in Isaiah chapter 60 and in Revelation. There will no longer be any night, but there will And the light of the moon will not shine on you, because the Lord himself will be your eternal light. So this is the perfection, the perfect restoration of light. So this is not some sort of vague restoration, right? Even now, for us who are enjoying his glory, even now, we have this joy that we have from enjoying his glory, but at the same time, we have this thirst and desire for the 2% that is not yet fulfilled. So even though we see the face of God right now, but it's the same face that we will see at the time of restoration. Second Corinthians 12, we do not see his face clearly yet. It's like as if in a mirror. We have this desire inside of us. We have this hope inside of us to see his face clearly. So that is the duty of those who are enjoying his glory. Of course, the glory we have now is great. But there's still 2% missing. How great will be the glory that we receive that day? God's abundance has no limitation even now, but how much greater will be in that day? Of course, the glory now is beyond our imagination, but how much greater will be his glory that day? We need to have that expectation. That should be normal for us. We should have this desire inside of us, this thirst inside of us. So even though we cannot live for 100 years in this earth, we have this desire to have a bigger house, right? To have a bigger land. Even though we cannot even enjoy 100 years on this earth. But we are going to the eternal life. But you have no interest in the house that you're going to have forever. You have no desire to plan for your eternal resting place. Even though you have interest in the house that you make in this earth, you know, you always invest in your outer beauty, because even though you will not live for 100 years, I know our young ladies, they go on diets, right? Even though you are not going to live for 100 years, what's the point? But you have no interest in the kingdom, the eternal kingdom that's coming. For those of you who are enjoying the glory now, you have this thirst inside of you for the eternal kingdom. And you have a lot of interest in the coming kingdom. And you have a lot of expectations for the resurrection body, the perfect body that you will receive. So we cannot separate the end times with the present. Those who are enjoying the glory now will have this greater expectation and hope for the coming kingdom. And you have this like excitement. Why? Because the life you have with the Lord is so great now. But the time when you see him face to face, you are so excited to see him face to face. Your heart is beating out of its chest. Ba-dum, ba-dum. Ba-dum, ba-dum. Ba-dum, ba-dum. Right? Your heart is beating out of your chest. So the type of ice cream these people enjoy is 설레임, which is the same as like, sounds like excitement in Korean. Anyways, let's finish this. We need to finish. So from verse 27 is talking about the judgment on the nations. So the fact that Israel has been restored means that God is pouring out his judgment on the nations. So even in the time of tribulation that is coming up, we will see the judgment of God, but that is not the judgment of God on the children of God. It's God's judgment for the world. Of course, we are living together with the world, but just as God separated Goshen from the rest of Egypt, even though we are living in this world, we have nothing to do with the coming judgment. So does that mean we will live comfortable lives? No. But even in a time of suffering, God will work among us. But the judgment is reserved for the world. And in the second, in the latter 3.5 years, God will judge Israel because Israel has been doing things that God does not want. So just as Zechariah says, many, many people will die in Israel. So the wrath that God has for Israel and the judgment upon the world, all of the judgment and tribulation for the world has nothing to do with the church. Because at that time, the only churches remaining are the churches of the remnant. As soon as we enter into the latter 3.5 years, there will be the unification of all the religions. The preparation work is already complete. The Vatican has already prepared all the work to unify all the religions. And as we enter into the latter 3.5 years, there will be the unification of all the religions, and there will be many, many martyrs throughout the world. We will see a lot of martyrs in Zoe ministry as well. And that's a glorious work because we are rejecting the unification of all religions. So the reason that people accept the one world religion is because the corrupted churches are leading the way. All of the churches will voluntarily say there is salvation in all religions. And at that time, the true remnant churches will rise up and they will reject that. And as all of the countries accept the unified religion, they will accept the Antichrist who's been working in the shadows. And then, at that time, there will be martyrs. So even in the Korean Peninsula, if Lee Jae-myung continues to be president in South Korea, then the only path in front of us will be martyrdom. We will die if we have to. But that's not our calling yet. We have been called to be the remnant to prepare the way of the Lord. So there will be martyrs in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then after that, in the second 3.5 years, the remnant will continue to live. And at that time, Israel will become one with the remnant. And then they will be able to fight against the Antichrist. I will talk about this in Revelation. This is what the Bible is saying, okay? So the world will be under judgment. Okay, verse 27. Even now, God is using the holy churches to maintain the world just as the dew maintains the life of Israel. But the world is under the judgment of God. And now, God has prepared everything for the Lord's return. So from the side of the Gentiles, all we have left is to be to fulfill Zechariah 5, where the church is completely separated from Babylon. Just as it says in Revelation chapter 14, it is the churches that have not been defiled by the great prostitute. It is the churches that are able to purely follow the Lamb wherever He goes. That is what God is preparing right now for these kind of churches to appear. And that is why God has established a ministry to raise up these kind of churches. So, we are waiting for this amazing revival that Zechariah prophesied. And the speed of holiness has gotten much, much more rapid. And so that's why people are changing, because they are receiving this truth. So who are the remnant? Those who receive the word of the remnant. So because you're hearing the word of the remnant, you are the remnant. So let's talk about judgment. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar. So this is the state of God's anger, God's wrath. So he comes from far, burning with his anger, and in thick rising smoke. This is the same as what Habakkuk prophesied in chapter 3 about the day of the Lord's wrath. In thick rising smoke, his lips are full of fury. His tongue is like a devouring fire. Verse 28, his breath is like an overflowing stream that reaches up to the neck. So he is blowing his anger from his mouth, right? Yeah, it's a stream that reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of destruction. When he measures the nations, everything flies off. And so it's not possible to repent, for the nations to repent anymore, because they have been completely embody evil. They are not able to see that this is not the path God wants them on. And they are continually multiplying their evils in their lives. If we see in Isaiah 59, it will be a time where it's difficult to see righteousness, to find righteousness, right up until the time of the Lord's return. It is just a righteousness. There will be righteous people in name and only, in appearances only. So, verse 29, you shall have a song in the night. How will the remnant live? How will Israel live? This is talking about the restoration of God's kingdom. They will be able to keep the feast with joy. When I went to Israel this time, Israelis were singing all throughout the night without instruments. I've never heard people sing such boring songs before. But they are like clapping, jumping, you know. They were dancing with joy all through the night. So that's what God is talking about. So you will have a song as in the night when a holy face is kept in the gladness of heart, as when one sets out to the sound of the flute to go out to the mount of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. This is they will see the glory of the Messiah. This is talking about the restoration of Israel, right? This is what Isaiah talks about later, and also Revelation. We are entering this time. You have to be there at that time. So from the Gentiles' perspective, we have to participate in the wedding feast of the Lamb. I do not want you to be bridesmaids. But most churches, they are just bridesmaids. There aren't that many people who have the requirements of being the pure bride. These are the people who will stand on the, who will sit on the judgment seat of God. And they will come with the king when he returns. Who are the bridesmaids? They will just wait somewhere in some place inside of God's kingdom to receive training for 1,000 years. That's what will happen to the bridesmaids. So not everybody who lived in this earth will come down with the millennial kingdom. There's not enough space on this earth to receive everybody in human history. The people who live in the millennial kingdom will come as the royal priests with the Lord. It is the pure bride who will come down with the Lord. And God, the Lord will rule over them for 1,000 years. The recipients of revelation are those who endure through tribulation, those who do not receive the mark of the beast, those who have lost their heads for the sake of the gospel. This is all, this word is written for the remnant. So the whole Bible is written for the sake of the remnant. It's the same for Isaiah. Even Isaiah says that Jesus came in the flow, in the tradition of the remnant. Of course, he came to bear the cross for us. But in Isaiah's vision, this Messiah, He came from the church of the remnant, from the congregation of the remnant. This is how important the ministry of the remnant is. That's why the revelation was written for the sake of the remnant. Those who do not receive the mark of the beast, those who have lost their heads for the sake of the gospel. So I pray that you will participate in that same glory. You all have to be the pure bride. It is for that sake, it is for that period, it is for the sake of that glory that we have been praying for 24 hours a day and offering all of these worship services. So if we do not enter into glory before the Lord, that does not make sense. So, okay, verse 30. And the Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard. So he's talking about the judgment against Assyria. So all of the judgment against all of the great nations in human history is just a practice, is a trial run for the final judgment that is coming. All of the wars and tribulations, they are signs that God's judgment has begun. If you look at Matthew 24, there will be wars and rumors. All this is the signs of the tribulation to come. So Assyria was one of the greatest nations in the human history. They were the first country to oppress other nations because they were an empire. So if you look at the prophets, they talk about Assyria a lot. Are they truly talking about Assyria? Or are they talking about the representative empire, let's say Babylon? They also talk about Babylon. Are they talking about Babylon? Or are they talking about all empires in human history? So you have to distinguish between that in the prophets. So why is Assyria important? It's because they oppressed other countries because they were the first empire to do so. Of course, Egypt existed, but Egypt was not able to take over other countries. They were not able to expand throughout the world. But Assyria, they were the first country to do so. So they were important because they were the first empire. They were the first to become an empire. So that's why Babylon is also important too. So this is a judgment against Assyria. He will cause his majestic voice to be heard. His voice will be like the thunder, and the descending blow of his arm to be seen. He will destroy them like lightning, and a furious anger and a flame of devouring fire and a cloud burst and storm and hailstone. So his judgment is bursting forth. So look at the judgment towards Assyria. So the Messiah will cover Israel with his glory. So judgment starts from the stillness of God's glory. The Messiah's glory is covering Jerusalem. And how fearful does that presence appear to the Assyrians? So it's like 180,000 arrows. There are 180,000 archers, and they shoot the arrows. All 180,000 arrows should hit Jerusalem, but none of those arrows struck Jerusalem at all. So that kind of presence is coming again in the end times. Just try imagining it. The presence in which no one can shoot their arrows. That kind of presence is coming upon us very soon. So we have experienced a great presence, the great presence of God before. We experienced this in 2016 at the Bethlehem conference, that everyone was crying because of the presence of Jesus. So that is the evidence of God's presence, because everyone was weeping. Jesus himself came to visit us in Bethlehem, and that kind of same presence is going to come visit us again. So they will all die because of the judgment of God's glorious presence. Verse 31. The Assyrians will be terror stricken at the voice of the Lord when he strikes them with his rod. God is going to strike them all. Verse 32, and every stroke of the appointed staff that the Lord lays on them will be to the sound of tambourines and lyres. Battling with brandished arm, he will fight with them. So Assyrians will be destroyed by the Lord's judgment, but the Israelites will sing a shout of victory. So the day of judgment will be the day of our victory, be the day of our feast. So the tambourine and the lyre will resound. Verse 33, for a burning place has been prepared. What is the burning place? It's like a furnace. It's like the burning furnace of the Hinnom Valley. It's a place. They're going to make that into a cremation, place of cremation. Because they have to, like, it's like more than a million people will die in Israel, so they have to cremate all the bodies. They're going to be piling all the bodies. It's going to take 7 years to get rid of all of the dead bodies. That's how many people will die. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Anyways, like more than, I think, 10 million, 18 million people will die. So there will be a burning place. So the king Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, will taste this utter defeat. Because so many people are died, there has to be so many places to burn the bodies. The pyres made deep and wide with fire and wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of sulfur, kindles it. So the wrath of God will burn up all of these bodies. There's so many dead bodies. So all of the survivors were hiding for 3.5 years in Jerusalem. The survivors could do nothing, right? But when Hezekiah repented and returned to the Lord, the word of the Lord was proclaimed. And from the perspective of the Assyrians, it's unbelievable, because they thought they would be able to win against Jerusalem through their siege, but they were able to persevere for 3.5 years. And the Israelites, they obeyed King Hezekiah. And at the end of 3.5 years, the 1.8 million Assyrians, they were dead right in front of the Israelites' eyes. This is the work of God. That great victory is waiting for us. It doesn't matter what we are like. It doesn't matter how strong the enemy is. When God says he will kill them, he will kill them. When God says they will be destroyed, they will be destroyed. So there's going to be this great victory waiting for us. Amen. Great victory. So you should expect this. So please enjoy your lunch. There's nowhere to go. So after lunch, pastors, ministers, please do ministry. Come back here and do ministry. Everybody needs to be healed. Everybody needs to be loosened from their bondage. We all need to become glorious. Amen.